Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning. Good morning, saints of the living God. Welcome to the Friday Fellowship of Learners on this glorious Chicago morning when snow has been called down from heaven. You know, God did say in his word, and he would call for the snow to fall and the rain to flow. So it all comes from the mighty hand of our almighty God. And we rejoice and are exceedingly glad, for he has blessed us here in Chicago with some snow. We do pray for those that for whom the snow causes inconvenience and challenge. And we don't want to be insensitive to others, but we do rejoice in all things. Praise God, praise God. Saints of God know that Overseer is happy because it's snowing. But it makes for a glorious morning as we acknowledge God and we welcome you to Blog Talk Radio. Good morning, good morning. Everybody is on.
Good morning.
Speaker. Good morning. Prayerfully, nice and warm at home. And not out and about. Amen. Amen. So we want to we would incorporate in our time of sharing some promises from each of the books of the Bible. This week we're looking at the Old Testament is Numbers, and New Testament is the book of John. All right. Anybody come have theirs? They would like to share?
Good morning.
I have found that. Good morning. Yeah.
Well, mine comes from a different book. Let's see. Mine comes from Second Corinthians 1:3-4 and Isaiah. Let me give you the right one. My eyes. I believe, yes, Isaiah 66:13. Isaiah 66:13 says, as one whom his mother comforted, even so will I comfort you. And I'm sorry, kind of out of breath, I don't know why. 2 Corinthians 1:3-4 says, we ourselves are comforted of God, the God of all comfort. And this promises of this nature are associated with our relief as seasons of stress and sorrow, and they reveal how deeply interested God is in all that concerns our earthly life. 'Such is the nature of the comfort of him who came to comfort all who mourn and to heal the brokenhearted. God is indeed the spring of all our comfort. All our springs are in him. A writer for the heart has reminded us that spiritual comfort is that refreshing pleasure of the soul which arises from the consideration of what God in Christ is to us in respect of relation, of what he has done for us, an infallible promise to do for us. The margin gives us the word encouragement or comfort to multitudes of harassed downcast saints certainly need this aspect of divine ministry.
All right.
To have the comfort of Christ as the personification of it, the Holy Spirit, and the medium of it, the scriptures, the established ground of it, ourselves as the recipients of it. So I thank God for the comfort, for his comfort.
Amen. Amen.
Right. Anybody else? Well, I found it over abundance of promises, actually, in the book of John, but I'm going to start with Numbers, the one I received from Numbers, as it relates to us, as our lesson is looking at rest, but it's from Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should, God is not a man that he should lie. Not a son of man that he should repent. Has he said and will he not do? Or has he spoken and will he not make it good? A promise that brings us to a place of faith and rest as our lesson is focusing on. And then in the book of John, and as I said, the book of John is just so rich in promises that I had more than one. So I will share them. John 12 and 24. And I need to put my glasses on this one. It says, most surely I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. And then it is reiterating that promise of what happens at total surrender, at giving up all, getting off of the top of the grain of wheat, or the ear of corn shining in its beauty and being only a blessing to itself and those who are like-minded, and yet one that must fall to the ground and decay from the outward appearance and allowing that which the Lord has put in us to flow out for others. Always looking to the ministry of one another as being a part of that which God has saved us from too, so that others may receive of the fullness of God. And then in John 1:16, it says, for out of his fullness, his abundance, and this is out of the Amplified Bible, we all receive, have a share, and we were all supplied with one grace after another, and spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, even favor upon favor, and gift heaped upon gift. And this is in line with our author today, as he indicates the levels and times of frustration and the cycles of failure when we attempt to produce something, a spiritual truth,
and to incorporate, not incorporate, but when we attempt to embrace a truth, a scriptural truth, a faith back in our life, we don't always succeed immediately. This is allowing us to understand favor upon favor, and we is how we will eventually get to the place where we just rest in the truth, and then the truth will produce, reproduce itself in our life. And this favor, I view it as a divine enablement. In other words, this is what we get divinely from Christ to enable us to appropriate that which it is our inheritance to receive. So it says, for out of his fullness, out of his abundance, which means that it's not out of my lack or limit, but it is out of his unlimited supply of everything I need to find and to appropriate. I love it because the author says it actually finds me. And so we'll look at that when we go through it. So there was just so many in the book of John that I had highlighted quite a few of it. Well, we won't go through all of them, but I realized that that's an awesome book to share with those entering into the process of discipleship, because it is so rich with the promises that build our faith. We had a teaching Wednesday by Minister Williams, and one of the things he shared was the fact that faith births feelings, and normally it is our feelings that we function on. And if we don't feel a certain way, we don't have a emotional or positive emotional response. But faith that births our feelings is faith facts that have been grown up in us, strengthened in us, exercised in our life, that will cause our emotions to come in line with and in harmony with what our inheritance looks like. And so just that the fact that the faith is what will birth actually new responses. There's some things in life that we've endured in our carnal state or even our sinning state, and we have a very specific reputation of how we responded. Everybody knows a person's natural response to certain triggers and things like that. But once Holy Spirit and that corn that we once we are subjecting ourselves to, surrendering ourselves to the faith facts that we're learning, which are these promises that build our faith, then our response turns. It becomes different. And that's how people know the power of God, and that's how they see and recognize, wow, you know, what's going on with you? And God said that's how they'll know him, because it then gives our life a opportunity to evangelize those that we live with and see and come in contact with. Not so much that we're evangelists, but it evangelized our life is something that will preach and speak as epistles the good news and the power of the resurrection of Christ. Oftentimes people can't see that the fact that the first aspect of salvation, which is that we are free from the wrath and hell, and they can't see that. They can't really witness that when they look at us. You know, we probably look like the same people we looked like before. However, the second part of the work of the cross is that transformation from death to the in the resurrected power of the Lord Jesus Christ, which starts to then transform us and our thinking and our actions and our emotions. And so this favor upon favor for me is another indication of this is part of the process. This is part of the process of discipleship. This is part of the necessary element that God has put in place to, if you will, guarantee our success through his perfection. And so this favor upon favor, unmerited and divinely given power to accomplish that which God has required of us. So what he requires, he also gives us the tools and the victory for it. So anybody else would like to share any promises before we go into our lesson, which we've gone into? I'm sorry? And let's next week look through the book of Numbers, Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, and Acts in the New Testament. Okay? For our promises. All right? Anybody else?
Good morning.
Anybody want to? Yeah, good morning.
Good morning. Just incidentally, I was listening to you via the computer, but I couldn't figure out how to make it connect, so I'm back on the telephone. But but that comes through loud and clear. You know, it's just, I don't know, like I said, it just gives the same number to call in to talk to the host. But in regards to the
can I just
numbers,
ask one thing before you get started? Are you still on the computer? Okay, I'm just trying to look at my, see if I could see it, and I don't. But go ahead. All right. Thank you.
Yeah, you know what? I did not log in because you can get in without logging in. So that might be. So next week I'll try to log in. I'll try to remember what my password is. But that's probably why you can't see me, because you can. You don't have log in to the website or register or anything like that.
Right.
I just put in Blog Talk, went to Religion, and hit whatever's live, and you came up as the third item live from 9 to 10.
Okay.
So you don't really, you know, for anybody who's listening, it's not really that difficult. You don't have to have any kind of passwords or anything like that. You just need to go to www.blogtalk.com. So that was really easy. The promise that I love in Numbers is Numbers 6, which is called the Priestly Blessing, which starts at the 6:24.
Yes.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee.
Yes.
The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. So that's the one for Numbers. And in John 14, where it talks about he will keep us in perfect peace, John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I know we always look at that in the time of death, but as Elder was sharing, kind of in that whole idea of comfort and loss, that he is the God of all comfort and comforts us in whatever, you know, our situation may be. So those were two that I wanted to share.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Anybody else want to share their promises? Okay. Yes, we have a young one.
The promise out of John 10:10, that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I am has come, that you might have life and have that life more abundantly, is assuring that in the process of what's going to happen, I'm letting you know what's going to happen, but I'm also letting you know the conclusion of the matter. So don't be taken back by it. Don't be thrown by it. It's all part of the process. So I find that promise to be reassuring. And if I could use the word realistic, because stuff is going to happen. It's supposed to happen. Don't trip on it, because I've already happened. So I find comfort in that promise.
Amen. Anybody else?
All right. All right.
You can take your phones off mute, and you are live on Blog Talk Radio. words from the Word. Praise the Lord. One second here. All right, get through our morning throat here. Amen. So as we have journeyed with the author through some principles of spiritual growth, he has presented to us what the journey entails based on the Word of God, based on the roadmap, if you will, that God has put before us in his Word. And the, what do you want to say, the buzzwords that we've been looking at are the Word, and these words are the elements that we have to, that will be established in us, because it is God's will that they are. And he has taken on the commitment to be our husband, to be the gardener, to be the good shepherd, to be the teacher, as well as the comforter and the corrector. And so as we journey through, these are elements that we need to honor and embrace and replace other mindsets or other thinking that we may have gathered over the years through just interaction and influences from different areas. We've come to certain conclusions, and yet he's telling us that in his kingdom, these are the elements, these are the gold, these are the treasures, these are the truths that identify where we are now in Jesus Christ. And those elements we looked at was the element of faith and its importance as a foundational place that has to come first. And it is without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, we really can't do anything without faith. And then time and an element that is negative in the natural, but in the spiritual, it takes on a whole different power and nature, and it's one we need to embrace and not try to change. It's not microwavable. It's not speedy up. It's not shortcut. Time is a valued element that produces those divine treasures in our life. And because life in the kingdom is all about relationship, and relationship is developed over time. And because it is God's desire to be a part of our life, that, and not just now, but for eternity,
time is something that he wants us to enjoy with him, no matter what the challenges that are naturally, no matter what the desires we may have to accomplish certain goals and different things. He is the, I'll say keeper of time, but it is him who will establish what the process will look like and how long it would take. So we have time, we have faith, we have acceptance, accepting the fact that I am fully accepting and pleasing, not because of anything I am, but because of Jesus Christ. And God accepts us because we are in him. And so it's nothing we have to do. It kind of releases us from being, performance-driven. There's nothing that you can perform to do to make you worthy. What makes and who makes us worthy is the Lord Jesus Christ, and worthy for the purpose that God has created us for. So we have purpose, not our own, but one that before the foundation of the world was a part of our destiny. And everything that we do should be focused upon, built upon that purpose that God has for us. And a lot of times we don't know what it is, but that's part of the discipling. That's where we find out. And there's the preparation, the in him, the appropriation, the identification, the consecration, the self-life, understanding it, and putting it in the place that it should be, self-denial and what that means and what it should look like, and then the cross and the power thereof, and the whole purpose, the twofold purpose of the cross. We have embraced one side. We need to embrace the other side of the cross, which is living in the resurrected power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it's discipleship, and then the process of discipleship, and then today's lesson, rest. Today's lesson, rest. I think it's interesting that it is, again, one of those terms that in the kingdom means something totally different from what the world would look at and what the world would say. It's a snow day, so we have the little one. So it's what I would look at. I was sharing with someone recently that, you know, when I retired, which is what, you know, you would think is a time of rest and from your laboring after years and years and years, you know, of years, you get to a place that you look forward to that time where you can rest. You know, you don't have those pressures, those stresses, those responsibilities weighing you down, and you're liberated, you're free from working. Period. And so as a result, oh, geez, I'm going to turn my computer off. I do pray that you guys still hear me. But what I have found in the last 5 years of retirement is that I do more work now, if you will. I labor more than I did when I worked. Okay. But it's different. And it, first of all, it's not for money. Before, you know, you labor for a thing. Now the labor is because of a thing. And because it's not for money, it's a rest. So it looks very different from, you know, the way it did, you know, for before retirement, I'll put it that way. And so I can understand just in that scenario what the author was putting forth and what he was sharing with us about this rest. And so he starts, he says, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God, for he that is entered into his rest, log that on my computer, yes, you guys are there, I have entered into his rest, he also have cause from his own works as God did for his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into a rest. Labor to enter into a rest. So many of the life-giving truths of the word consist of two intertwining halves that are inseparable. It says, let us labor, therefore, to enter into rest. As for labor, it is true that there is a great deal of struggling and searching and pleading and agonizing in the process of discovering and understanding these truths to fit it to our needs. And so there are some, a great deal, and that's one of the things of that favor to favor promise. There is struggling, there is searching, but there is a rest in it because just as a woman gives birth through labor, and then through that labor births a baby, so also is birth rest through this because we learn to let go, and then it naturally happens. Once we let go, it naturally happens. It says much of the same path is crawled in an effort to appropriate and enter in. And so we've learned that when we get to a certain place, we need to appropriate the blessings that have been set up for us, just like a trust fund, and be able to incorporate them in our living. It says rest is the key to entering into rest. It's like, oh my goodness. All this is not in vain. It is necessary, but it is not the key. That struggling and that agonizing and pleading and searching is not the key. The key to rest is rest. And so entering into a rest, entering into the comfort, as Elder brought up is one of her scriptures, is into the comfort of the power of God. So entering into that comfort, being able to cease from the struggling and the pleading and the agonizing and the searching, because that's when we have taken the faith back, taken the promises, and we've embraced them, and we rest on them just like a pillow and a bed covered up in them. We rest in those faith facts. And then those faith facts bring us rest as we go forth. It says it is important but an exhausting labor process. We come to see the needed truth. We become sure of our facts. So in this struggling, in this searching, in this agonizing, what we're doing is we're having a belief. We're having a crisis of belief. The spiritual, the truth of God is coming head on in the bull ring with the carnal mind and the flesh. And they're, you know, duking it out, if you will. It is a battle. It is a battle. It is a struggle. Because it's a new thing that we're not sure of, but we believe it. As the author shows in the illustration of learning of language, that you believe because you've heard the faith fact. You've heard the promise. You believe the promise. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. That because of who he is and what he has said, this is something that you can now experience. And how to experience then becomes our discipling. It's how we experience it as it clashes with our flesh and our thoughts and our old thought pattern. It clashes, and sometimes we take the side of the carnal. We don't take the side of the kingdom. And yet we know we're going to, we want it, we have this hunger and thirst for it. We believe the fact that God said he would, that God said I would, that God will do it, that Jesus has done it, that Holy Spirit is there on my behalf. And so we keep clashing as we have these crises of belief. Every time we get another word, every time we get a revelation of the word of God, we don't have to sin. As we get these revelations, we have these crises of belief. And then as we fail, the author puts it beautifully, you know, he says, as we fail, you know, we become frustrated. We become, I'm just trying to find out where it is, but we do. We become frustrated. We become depressed and down about it because it's like, you know, like Paul said, what I would do, I don't, and what I don't, I do. And, you know, what, the heart is heavy. The mind is weary, and the courage fails. You know, it does. It becomes almost like a place of wanting to give up. He says, but not quite.
I get
quite.
Scary. I get scary
yes.
and upset. But, you know, I can go to Romans 28 all the time. For I am persuaded that neither death nor to separate me from God, and that puts me right back on track.
Exactly. Yes, that's that faith fact. That's foundational for you. That's that victory that you hold on to, even when you don't see the victory, but you hold on to it because you believe it. You believe that nothing can separate. You know, even though I may have told them and made, yes, go ahead.
I have to put it up back up in there. Get back up in there. Don't you come back out.
That's right. Keep putting it, keep putting his truth, his promises right back in the place of priority number one. No matter how many times we knock it down because we choose something else, we get it and we put it back up because we know that's where it belongs. We know that's where it belongs. And then as the author says, at some point, you're going to look up and it's there and it's unmovable.
All
the time. It's unmovable. And so that's a victory won. That is a victory won. And then we go forward from that victory. We don't get weary in well-doing. It says a lack is what brings up a lack of appreciation of the wonder of the full salvation of Christ, a lack of appreciation of the faith facts of what Jesus has put forth in the book of, you know, the New Testament, of all the teachings that he said, that we lack appreciation that if somebody hits us, turn the other cheek. We don't appreciate that in the beginning. But as we go forth, and because we don't appreciate those faith facts in the beginning, we have these crises of belief, we're out of balance. And we do have these spells of frustration and failure because we haven't done it God's way. We still rely on the old way of thinking. But when we have faith to know that, you know what, he is my banner. He is the one who fights for me. His victory is my victory. Then those faith facts will produce different feelings, new feelings, because these feelings rely on the character and power of the Trinity and not on man and me and my circumstances. So these faith facts, they then birth new feelings, new responses to life's challenges. And that is that transforming, you know, our mind and our thinking. It is based on the fact that we've come to a point now we're retired from our labor. I will stop trying to do it to myself, and then I can rest. That's when the rest comes. And as we rest, we relinquish our carnal self. We relinquished our will to the will of God. We relinquished it, and we're joyful about it because we love and we trust the way he manages our life and the way his promises unfold in our life that brings about what our heart truly desires. And his faith fact and his love has no limit and has no conditions that he has not empowered me to meet. And so it's a win-win. And because of that, I rest in that. And as we rest in that, because we are freed from our own struggling to accomplish our own will, because we can't, then as we rest, that's when we really start working, because that's when our destiny is entwined in the Spirit, Holy Spirit in us, and our destiny meets its purest form that Holy Spirit is downloading into us from heaven. So now we become aware of our purpose. We become fueled by our purpose. We become satisfied by our purpose. And as I think Pastor once said, you know, his peace becomes upon us. There's no more crisis of belief in this area. There is no more struggling. And because of that, we have a history with him. When you have a history with someone, you know them, you know what to expect, you can trust their integrity or know that they don't have any, whatever, once you have a history. And when we have this history with God, when we develop, allow him to become intimately involved in our thinking and in our making, then we get a confidence. It's like that's when you're really confident about what you're doing, only because you know it's not you doing it, but that it is God and that he is true to his word and he does not fail. And so
we can
that
depend
takes away
on that.
Yes.
We can depend on it. Yeah.
Yes. We have reckoned it to be so. Exactly. And that's what the whole acceptance, we reckon it to be so. In other words, like you say, we count on it. And we know that we can because we have this history. We have this intimate relationship that has proven himself. He's proved himself because anytime he says, try me, he is saying, and you're going to find out. Yes.
Dependable.
Yes. Yes. He will come through. He will be true. He is faithful. He is all those things. And those are the things that, you know, as the scripture says, you know, pray without ceasing in all things, give thanksgiving. You know, in praising and thanking him for those attributes that you've come to experience personally, it becomes a worship. And that worship will wash away doubt. It will wash away fear. It will wash away the confusion and the frustration because it is so perfectly aligned to who we are because he has made us that it completes us. And we're no longer struggling to find ourselves. We have found our purpose in our maker who perfectly made us and knew perfectly what we needed. And we've embraced it. And then we join him in bringing this truth to others on behalf of the kingdom. And on behalf of our, just on behalf of our love, we want people to know how this God, the lover of our soul, is so true and faithful and so perfectly, just so perfectly perfect, okay, that life is a joy, that life is a peace that surpasses all understanding. Life is in him, life in Christ. There's just no lack in it. It says one of the things we say, this lack of appreciation is what opens the door to unbalances and confusion and frustration and failure. So when we see frustration and failure, we need to backtrack because what they're saying, there's a lack somewhere in appreciating something that God has told us about himself. Or shown us about himself, or presented to us about himself. We don't fully appreciate it, and so we need to. That becomes a prayer focus. Holy Spirit, and that's the Holy Spirit's job to bring back to our remembrance to bring us the revelation on the truth and to teach us how what it is has been presented to us, how that makes a difference and a change in our life. So, anybody else, after reading this rest, what do you come up?
Overseer, when I was reading this, I thought about the abide in Christ, the whole idea of abiding. Two things that really jumped out at me when he did the analogy of learning a language, and he started off by saying, first we got to know that it's a language, and then we have to know and believe that we can learn the language, and then we have to be intentional on trying to learn the language. And I just thought about those steps because I think a lot of times in the kingdom, the characteristics of the Holy Spirit has been such that it just jumps on you. You just get it. You're just, you know, like that there is no purpose or intent from our point of view, that there is nothing we bring to the table, that we accept Christ as our Savior, and then truly, truly, yes, I know that God does work and we get everything, and it is that appropriation, but I think a lot of times we don't take the necessary steps or understand it clearly to have the manifestation of the promises of God so that our lives are effective and people see us as a credible witness. It made me to think of some of my friends that are Latino. Some of them can speak the language fluently, but can't read or write it. So, that just kind of gave me that sometimes we can be half baked, so to speak, in our faith walk. That we can have some of it, but we don't have the whole thing. Just like I said, that they can communicate and you would never know, but they can't read it, you know, or write it. And so that analogy came up. And then when it says that a fundamental principle is that God only reveals spiritual truths to meet our spiritual needs. So when we are still on the milk, we can't expect to have the revelation of the meat of God's word when we haven't done what trusted, you know, however you want to word it. I don't want to get caught up in the semantics. Because sometimes that gets crazy, and I think that it can be interpreted in different kind of ways. But there is a place in here where it says, the more clearly we enter by faith into the objective truth, or what is true of us in Christ, and that little part right there, what is true of us in Christ, because we can only move, we only see the victory and the manifestation of what is true of us in Christ. That doesn't mean that that's the revealed truth of Christ, because we understand that the work is finished. But what is true of us in Christ, the deeper and more experiential and practical will be the subjective work in us, and the more complete will be the manifestation of the moral effect in our lives and in our character, that as we trust him and we stand in the truth of his word, like he said, finding those promises, so when we're met with the challenges and the difficulty of loving unlovely people, being in difficult situations, and we stand and we honor God in what we do, the more we do that, the more objective we are to who we are, you know, what we bring to the table or what we don't bring to the table. Will make a difference. And as we think about that, as the other author said, moment by moment, you know, day by day, moment by moment kind of situation, then we can be more attentive to our behavior, to our words, to our thoughts. And my last point is that right below what I just read, when it talks about walking step by step, faith by faith, and it says the rest of faith concerning our justification, the rest of faith concerning our acceptance, the rest of faith concerning our position in Jesus Christ, the rest of faith concerning our identification in Christ in death, resurrection, and ascension. Each step established in the rest of faith brings us to the next one. That until some of those foundational things, and I think we have been really askew in our trying to bring people into the experiential piece of what Christianity is, feel the Spirit, know that, you know, those kinds of things, that whole charismatic piece, that we don't talk about those foundational pieces of justification, that I'm saved from my past, my present, and my future sins, that I am accepted in Christ, that I'm accepted at the point that I accept him as my Savior, that he accepts me, you know, and then I can rest in that. I don't have to worry about keep falling in and out of my relationship with him. My fellowship may be a little shaky when I'm not doing it, but I don't have to worry about him not being my Father. And then the whole idea of this, even if my posture isn't and my present situation isn't lining up, that my position, that Ephesians tells me that I am seated in heavenly places with him. And so that whole death, resurrection, and ascension, you know, that when we understand that, because he goes on to say that, you know, if you don't get Romans 1 through 5, and I just heard evangelists just talk about Romans 8. It's like if you can't get Romans 1 through 5, you're not going to ever get Romans 6 through 8. So understanding that, you know, what can separate me, you know, you have to really understand we have to understand who we are in Christ, and then trust God to do it his way and see how he brings us out. But when we are hesitant and we either don't move or passive or go in the other direction, then we never experience that victory, and hence we stay in that whole muck kind of state, you know, as a babe in Christ.
Anyone else?
Got it.
You say got it. Yeah. You know, and even, you know, just one thing first, Elder, before you speak. But one of the things is such a familiar scripture. You know, nothing can separate us, you know, from the love of God. But that's a scripture that I think we could study for a year, because there are so many things in that God was addressing that we don't appreciate and understand or even associate it with that scripture. And once we would, then we would understand it can't separate us. But there are so many scriptures, so many promises, that it is our place to sit before Holy Spirit and meditate on them, so he can give us the revelation of them for where we are, not where we've been and what we know, but for where we are, where we're going, and what we don't know yet. You know, and so those are the things that we, you know, that's why we're looking at these promises and searching for them. Because he said, if you seek me, actually, the author said, it'll find me. I love the way he put it. Whatever you look for, it'll find you. You know, not that I'll find you, but it will find me. I love that. It will be found. It says, what you are seeking has found you. What you are trying to grasp has grasped you. Okay, and that's something that, you know, as we, you know, going forth in our study, we want to look for the revelatory insight that we've never had before. So we want to pull on what God is doing in this season, not according to the last season, but according to the next. Okay, so go ahead, Elder.
Sit and let him do it. Okay, all right.
Yeah.
You?
Elder Roberta?
I'm looking at it different. Yeah.
Oh.
I'm looking at it different.
I was just going to say that on page 64 where he says the increasing revelation, well, let me back up. God will produce an actual experience when we have apprehended our deliverance through death with Christ. The self life often appears more alive than ever. Just here, God would have us stand firm, rest upon his written word. The increasing revelation proves the surrender to the cross to be real, because the Holy Spirit takes us at our word and reveals all that he has seen lying underneath, reveals it that it may be dealt with at the cross. Our part is to yield our wills and take God's side against ourselves, whilst the Holy Spirit applies the death of the cross to all that is contrary to him, that it may be really true that we who are of Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. When I read that, I said, oh, that's how it works.
Yes.
You know, how, a lot of times we'll say, oh, you know, oh, Lord, I surrender this to you. I surrender that to you. I surrender, you know, I surrender. But then we'll get up and then, you know, we'll take it all back. And, we'll find out it's really not completely surrendered, you know. So that stood out to me, that the Holy Spirit takes us at our word and reveals all that he has seen lying underneath, and reveals it that it may be dealt with. So until it's really sincerely surrendered, he has to keep revealing that same thing to us, you know. You haven't really surrendered it yet. So, that stood out to me.
Amen.
I found myself there.
and, you know, I think we all do, because that's another one of those things. We may be surrendered. I mean, it may be sincere. We got the deliverance. But we didn't know that was just the tip of the iceberg. There's more.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Holy Spirit's job. Like he said, what's underneath? And so, because he knows it is our heart's desire, because he knows our heart, and because it is, he understands how frail we are and how undone. And so, and I love it, because he said favor by favor. So it's not like the whole thing is dumped on us and we're jump up perfected. It's step by step. Everything else, Deborah said it, moment by moment. You know, his hand is on us every day, trying to, what's there, what shouldn't be, revealing to us. I'm not going to say where it's manageable, but where it is not overwhelming. You know, and so and little by little, and he even mentioned somewhere where, well, in his word, how he draws us with loving kindness. He understands how frail we are. He understands, you know, how ignorant we are, and how we really don't know nothing. And so we have to learn a little bit at a time. You know, it's just like a baby. You can't just stick the steak in his mouth. You got to cut it up in pieces, because we would choke on it.
Yeah.
And so he knows it. And that's why he gave us Holy Spirit, just like you're pointing out, to uncover, you know, that, you know, Lord, that's that Lord, search me. If you find anything there, it's like, yeah, well, we know you're going to find something. But when you find that, but what do you find? If you find something there that you are working on in this season, because that's the key. It's his will. it's not what we want. I don't want to do this anymore. Well, maybe before you can not do that, there's like 25 other things you got to not do. So, if you find something that's impeding your process in me this season, again, it's time. It is trusting him to do the perfecting his way. And that's why I love it when the author says we actually decide to take God's side against ourselves. He says our part is to yield our will and take God's side against ourselves. So in other words, and flesh will tell us, and not the negative flesh, just the human flesh, will say, well, no, God wouldn't want me to do that. God wouldn't ask me. And then at some point we have to say, yes, he would, yes, he does, and yes, he will, and yes, he is. But we have to get to that yes. But there are times that we really, in ignorance, we don't believe that God would want us to stay with that no good man. I'm just throwing that out there. He just wouldn't want me to suffer. Like, he won't let me go to church. He won't let me die. He won't let me die, blah, 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 blah. You know what? Hey, his will, not yours. And so there's so many things we can justify. We can justify. But we should allow him to justify us in the place that we are. And I believe even with Christ was human in his experiencing and in his temptations here, and he went back three times to relinquish his will to the Father. Three times. The King of Glory in humanity went back three times to relinquish his will. It wasn't that we could say, well, he didn't do it the first time, apparently not, because he had to go back. He didn't do it the second time, apparently not, because he went back again. So there was something working in him to bring him to his destiny. And that's something that's working in us that is going to bring us to our destiny. And we have to trust, because his trust and his faith obviously was in his Father, because he kept going back to his Father. So he was taking his Father's will against his own, if any way possible. But he kept going back to his Father. So God knew his heart, well, obviously. But God knew his heart. He knows our heart, because we keep going back to him. We really do. He knows our heart. So he will uncover that which needs to be brought to life in the way he knows is best. And that's not necessarily leading to our own understanding. But in all our ways, we've got to acknowledge it and let him do it. Because you know what? We don't know. We are like a beast before him. We don't know. All we do is feel. And that's why our feelings have to be birthed out of our faith in this season. And as we grow and go, we will find that that's what God will produce in us, feelings that are birthed from our faith. And those feelings are our feelings towards him, not necessarily how we feel, but our feelings toward him. And we become, as someone has said, we are persuaded. Okay? So we are persuaded.
Yes.
We are fully persuaded. And that's the place that he is bringing us to. Amen. Amen.
Minister Paulette,
yes,
before
ma'am.
We go, before we go back and ask, the latter part of that page, I read it a few times, but I'm not really getting it. If I could ask Apostle to elaborate, because it says the faith that receives from the hand of the Father is in two stages, and it goes on. But if she could elaborate on that latter portion.
I'm here.
Dear, but I don't think she reads this book.
Really? I think she do.
Okay, Apostle, it says
yes, Overseer. from the Father.
You go on with your best self. I'm sorry.
The faith that's seen from the hand of the Father is in two stages, and we are not to give up just because the struggle and labor phase does not produce the prize. That portion, according to your faith, be it unto you. Is that what we're making
yes,
reference
ma'am.
To?
Yes,
yes
ma'am.
Ma'am.
So
I apologize.
The first.
I repent.
No, no, no. I don't like your book. You're right. But nevertheless, I believe part of what he is stating is that because our faith is progressive, and we go from faith to faith and from glory to glory, we don't always see the result that we're looking for in each stage because it's progressive. So, I don't know, as a baby is conceived in the womb, when you look at those pictures, you don't see the full picture. Okay, you're not able to see the full development of it. But as time goes on, it is revealed. Well, as we progress, as we faithfully matriculate in our faith, as we progress in it and we go and we're faithful to each stage of the faith, it will bring about the reward or the prize that is needed. So he goes on to say that faith begins by being in labor, although it is consummated in rest. As we go through the process of faith, the reward of faith is distributed to us through the process. So we look for this one big prize at the end where it is actually cumulative and progressive.
Okay.
Amen.
Oh, that's all I have to say.
I got it.
Amen.
The Amen. Next page says that the consummation of faith has been reached. Excuse me. Labor will be replaced by rest. That's the last page.
Mm-hmm.
And so once we, as we go through it, we will always come into the rest of it if we've been faithful in the process through it. The end result or the evidence of that faith is a peaceful rest in him.
Amen.
Over
and
here.
I think if we read.
Amen.
Yes, go ahead.
No, you.
Yes. Oh. Okay. It says true activity is that which springs out of and is ever accompanied by rest. True activity springs out of rest. It is only as we know what it is to be still that we are ready to go forward. And that's it. Only when we know how to be still are we ready to go forward. It springs out of rest, true activity. That's a life that we worship. And that comes from resting in the faith of us being in the hand of the Father. I did such a profound, I did a book, we won't go into, but we need to rethink in this season what it is God is leading us to do. The activity, the true activity of what we're doing, is it because it is coming out of the rest in the faith, remember the bed, the comfort, the pillow, the cover, will rest. And because of that, he has stilled all of the chattering voices and the fears and the concerns. Again, we come to the next seven words of cross, Christ. After the cross, he's done all of those seven things.
He sealed them in us. And now the disciples were able to go forth. I encourage you to look back on some of the things that he has shared with us on Blog Talk, because it is progressive. And so we will grow as we go, but not forsaking that which we've already been given, but rather building upon it and seeing how it has to be intertwined and mingled with the new season revelation. I'll put it that way, because as Pastor said, it is progressive. It is always moving. It is alive. And it's alive eternally. So there's no end to the progression. And so we need to, first of all, stop and enjoy the movement and not trying to obtain a prize that's always is already ours. Even though I know we do run the race for the prize, the call of it. I don't know, right? I understand that, but not that prize. But the goal, I'll put it that way, the goal that we maybe set for us. All right.
Amen.
Anybody else? Amen.
I thought Elder was getting ready to say something. Elder Deborah.
Elder Deborah.
It kind of sounds like her.
No, that wasn't me.
Oh, that wasn't you?
It was.
Okay.
Okay, we have quite a few people on the line, so whoever's on the line, it's open. You know, we love the dialogue. That's what we do. Amen. And that's how we.
But I do have a question.
Oh, okay.
Overseer,
yes,
have you read The Normal Christian Life?
No, ma'am. I have not.
Okay. It's on Romans, but that would be exhaustive. It would take us 3 years to get through that. But,
yes.
You know, I mean,
okay. When you say Romans,
if we did like chapter by chapter, The Normal Christian Life.
We did. And Elder, we actually did a study on Romans through CCTI, and it really changed my life. And we did it the way we did it. I'm sure the full effect of it. I don't know about you, Elder Roberta, but I'm sure I didn't get it because I was trying to answer the questions. I'll be truthful. And it might be, you know, something we can. You know what I'm talking about. And that's one treatment that was a verse by verse, Elder. Actually, you know, it was very, very meaningful. So we may want to, especially in regard to these elements, because it's the Book of Romans. And he even says it, you know, somewhere in there in the beginning.
This volume is kind of like that same thing, verse by verse. You know, I mean, it's almost like a commentary on it. It's not a commentary, but it's this general commentary kind of on that. Like I said, the normal Christian life, and it is eye opening.
And the book of Romans is, in fact, I share with Apostle the fact that when I got to a certain part and it was saying even Peter didn't understand Paul's writing in Romans, I said, well, now I feel better. I feel so much better because Romans is a weighty book, and we use a lot of memorized scripture from it, but my God, there's so much that's behind those scriptures that, I mean, it almost makes the way we treat it, well, we treat it, you know, feeding it to infants, you know, when it really is a full course feast. Wow. That is, again, Apostle's word, progressive. So that may be something we can look into. I don't know if I want to read another book about Romans or go over that book we read already about Romans and really get what I needed to get out all of, you know, of that. So we will look into that. I defer to Elder Roberta, because I know that she and a couple other people. That, yeah, I know. We keep laughing. Yes. In fact, that whole series was on Christian living, true Christian living. We even had a book on that, you know, that we did that was very, I mean, I really think those books need to be revisited and given a more in-depth look. So, you know, we may want to revisit, you know, we'll talk about it, you know. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. Anything Amen. Else? Anybody else? Yes. Okay. I don't know if our youth division wants to speak. He's home from school. He wanted to speak in the beginning, but it wasn't, you know, time. So I'm going to check on that. Other than that, we can...
Well, Minister Paulette, one of the things that that book said was that our rights, R-I-G-H-T-S, should be surrendered to Christ. We should no longer be on our own making decisions independently of Him. We are called to give ourselves completely to Christ, who possesses all authority over us. Our lives and actuality belong to Christ. So that's what Romans, More Than Conquerors, said.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
I just happened to have the book laying in.
You too, huh?
Yeah.
Wow, okay, like minds think, you know, well, actually, we're all moving in the Spirit. So obviously, Elder Deborah, it is something that Holy Spirit is bringing to us, whether it's Watchman Nee or Paul Carnell, whoever it is the book of Romans. Amen. It's time. Wow, we will definitely pull upon our apostolic leadership in that to grace us. Amen. Anybody else?
Amen.
Insight, revelation. Other than that, enjoy the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And
amen.
You know what I'm going to say? The snow.
Don't even say it. Don't even say it.
No.
It's still falling.
They want to say, yes, it is. They want, they say, and you know what? Sometimes we do need to just be still and see the hand of the Lord and let Him, through Holy Spirit, give us revelation, you know, about all that we see around us that speaks of Him and His glory.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. So we're fast coming to a close on this book. Next week, it's Help!
Well, it is. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yes. Next week's topic is help. All right.
Yes.
So enjoy your worship. Be safe. Call ahead first to make sure wherever you go and whatever it is you think you need to do is still on schedule. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen.
All right.
God bless.
Thank you.